So it feels like we were only here just a few weeks ago, but it was last year, which is why I've entitled Shir Tisha B'Av again, like it's some kind of bad joke that we're all here again. And did we miss something along the way so that we're all sitting here really doing the same thing again? Perhaps not quite the same thing again, because unlike most Tisha B'Av, this Tisha B'Av might not actually be quite Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av was yesterday, and today of course is the 10th of Av, and there's a significant discussion as to what does that mean. Does that mean that today really is Tisha B'Av, meaning when Chazal set Tisha B'Av, when Zechariah talks about the Tzom HaChamishi, the fast of the fifth month, maybe that doesn't have a fixed date. Some dates it's the 9th of Av, and some dates it's the 10th of Av, and this year it's the 10th of Av, and that's Tisha B'Av, and I'm sure that many people are aware of the opinion of Gemara of Yochanan that says he would have liked Tisha B'Av always to be on the 10th of Av, because that's the best day for Tisha B'Av, because that's the day that the Mikdash actually burned down. Or maybe, no, Tisha B'Av is Tisha B'Av. And this year, it was Shabbos. It was a wonderful way to spend Tisha B'Av. We ate, we sang, we drank wine, we were with friends. And what we're doing today, the Tashlumim, we have to do something, but it's not really Tisha B'Av. And there are actually halachic implications to that discussion, specifically somebody who is sick today, not significantly or seriously sick, but sick to the point that it's hard for them to fast. Do they treat it like a regular Tisha B'Av, or do they treat it like a regular fast, which is not Tisha B'Av? And on that issue, most of the poskim are actually lenient. And in some ways today, it may not be really truly Tisha B'Av, and that might have, a difference to the way we focus on the material I'd like to look at with you today. Actually, we've had a fairly good ride of Tisha B'Av Nidcha. I did a little bit of research. There were 13 lean years between 1999 and 2011 where Tisha B'Av was never Nidcha, and now from 2012 to 2022 we have 6 years of Tisha B'Av Nidcha. So maybe perhaps Tisha B'Av is not something to look forward to, but if it's going to come, then at least it can be Nidcha to the point that it can be. The title of the Shirim today is Hearkening the Redemption, which I think is an interesting title because it puts its finger on the fact that there are two ways, I think, to approach Tisha B'Av. And in the past, we've spoken about different kinds of these different kinds of approaches. One approach is kinot, and you've just been doing that, which is a focus on the loss of life, the loss of communities, the loss of Mikdash, if we understand what Mikdash means. And we have no problem in our mind when Yirmiyahu describes the awful images in the Haftorah this morning of the dead and the bodies and the destruction. Sadly, we have no problem conjuring up those images because we've seen those images from photographs from not so very long ago from our own generations. And certainly to sit and to focus on the loss is critical on Tisha B'Av, and kinot is very much part of that. But there's also a second approach. And Yirmiyahu, after he's gone through all of those images of what he's predicting will happen and what in fact did happen, he says, Koyamah Hashem Tzevakot, this is what God wants you to do, Hit Bonanu, he says to the people, Hit Bonanu, reflect. What's the title? Introspect, not a bad translation of Hit Bonanu. Think about what the implications of this are and how to take it forward. Because there's a certain kind of positive spin to Tisha B'Av, which is maybe what this title is meant to bring out, which is that it's actually not the end of the road. Unlike an Avelis Chadasha that Chazal talk about, that there really is no way back, the person is gone, they're not coming back, and we have to learn to live without that person who's passed away. In our case with an Avelut Yeshana, then we realize that the Jewish people is actually never dead. That the pile of bones that Yechezkel prophesies over can indeed come back to life. And the frisson, the slight excitement that we have on Tisha B'Av, is that actually this revitalization, this resurrection can happen, will happen, and to some degree is within our power as to whether it does happen or doesn't happen. And that's a very different kind of feeling from kinot. And in that sense, I think there's a very important focus on Tisha B'Av on fixing things. It's the time of tshuva. It's a kind of preparation in a sense for the Yimei tshuva that are coming up. But it's a communal tshuva. And that's really the leaning this morning from Dvarim was very positive. It's very much a question of don't worry, because even if you're in the extreme situations of galut, there is a way back. You have to solve the problems, whatever those problems are. Sinat chinam, machloket, we talked about last year, tzedeku mishpat. And therefore, I want to focus today on that side a little bit more of Tisha B'Av, especially, as I say, since it's not quite a normal Tisha B'Av this year, and talk, like the title said, about focus a little bit on the redemption and see how that works in Tisha B'Av itself. So I brought you some sources on the sheet, and some of them will be familiar, but a few of them won't, especially, I think, a very beautiful midrash that I'd like to spend some time on in the middle of the shir. But let's first understand that Tisha B'Av is clearly a day of two halves. And those halves are not even halves. It's not just this half, then that half. It's actually intermingled a little bit between the two. So have a look first in the Shulchan Aruch HaHalacha from Tisha B'Av we're all familiar with, number one. Leil Tisha B'Av Yomo, both on the night of Tisha B'Av, on the day of Tisha B'Av. Yoshevim B'Bayit B'Beit HaKnesset La'aretz. There we are, you see. People sitting on the floor. We sit on the floor in the shul. Ad Tfilat Mincha. But only until Tfilat Mincha. We'll see Mincha what happens. And Mishnah Brewer brings there, Dum Yedavel, we like Avelim Sheyoshiva, Gabi Karka Kol Shiva, that during the Shiva, we sit on the floor. But what happens in Mincha? So Levush, classic commentator from the 17th century, says, Im Yesh Tinok Lamul, what if there's a bris on Tisha B'Av? This happens quite a lot, there are brisot on Tisha B'Av. We wait until after we finish kinot, whenever that is. But we can't do it before kinot. They usually wait till after mincha gedola. Because we have to do mila besimcha. And at the beginning of Tisha B'Av, we cannot be besimcha. But by the middle of Tisha B'Av, the implication is, we can be besimcha. Kedichsev tzas anochi alim ratecha. Once we finish the kinos, far amru psukei de nechama v'simcha. We've already said the psukim of nechama and simcha, and kilu enough of kinos already. Kinos, we did our reflection on the loss. We now have to move forward. We now have to do a brit. By the way, today, because it's nidcha, if somebody is actually making a brit milah today, it could be that the balei brit even eat and they break the fast, etc., which is even more interesting. What are these psukim of simcha? So I brought number four, which is at the end of the kinot. After Alei Tzion, that you were just singing now, so that a psukim that we read, Terachem Tzion Kasher Masa, these are wholly positive psukim, to have mercy on Tzion, just like you promised, Tchonaneha Ka'asha Dibata, and establish it like you said, to Maher Yeshua, Tachish Ke'ula, make Yeshua quick, and bring redemption hastily. But Tashuv Yerushalayim Barachamim Rabim, return to Yerushalayim, Kakasov Al Yad Neviyecha, Lachem Koyama Hashem, Shavti Yerushalayim Barachamim, Beiti Yibaneba, I will build my house there, Nu'um Hashem Tevakot, V'kav Yinateh Al Yerushalayim. I like this line. Kav, what's a kav Yinateh Al Yerushalayim? It's a building line. To build Yerushalayim, it's cranes. It's looking on the horizon and seeing the cranes over the new developments that you can't afford to buy. Okay? That is the establishment of this prophecy, Kav Yinateh Al Yerushalayim, V'ne'amah Od Kara Le'mor, Kara Ma Hashem Tevakot, the cities will overflow with good. The deserts will be like blooming gardens. The arvatak again Hashem, like the garden of Hashem. If I took that out of context and said to you, where do we read these psukim? You might have said, oh, I don't know, Sheva Brochas, something like that. These are psukim that we say on Tisha B'Av, which clearly indicates that there's something a little bit unusual going on with Tisha B'Av. The Bet Yosef flags up a minhag that was very strong and that would not die. I think it has now died, but it took a long time for the poskim to try and battle against it. Look in this Bet Yosef in number 5 in Hilchos Tisha B'Av. Kasav Rosh B'Tshuva. So the Rosh, who was living in Germany, in the 13th century, so quite an old source, he writes, Shisha'alta, someone asked him, Im b'tisha ba'av mina mincha ulamala, since we have this lift of mood, we've said these sukim of simcha,
or samuch lemincha ktana, or at least in the afternoon near to the later mincha, in yuchal adam lirchot panav yadav araglav. Can you take a shower? Can you wash? Can you, if already the mood is lifted, maybe you can wash your face and not keep the same halachas as before Tisha B'Av. Iyamrina mikzas ayom kukula kiven shahadavi avelas yishana. Just like we say with avelas, you keep shiva for 7 days, but on the seventh day you don't sit a whole day shiva. Why? Mikzas ayom kukula, a little bit of the day is considered a whole day, and therefore on the seventh day of a shiva, people sit a little bit in the morning, and then they get up. So okay, so we've done a little bit this morning, we've done our kinot, we've done our things, enough already, let's get up. Can you do that and take a shower already in the afternoon of Tisha B'Av? Says the Rosh, Chalila B'Chas, God forbid. We see what he's going to say here. Elakolayom Asa Adkan. Okay, actually, the whole day is Asa, you can't wash. But why are people pushing for this? Because of our kolboy. Misha mekel lirchotz min amincha. If people are indeed lenient to wash after the mincha, after mincha time ulamale in the afternoon, raglav, their feet or whatever, oivel di rechachamim. This is prohibited. This is going against the rabbis. Ach minhag kadum. But I can't deny, said the Bet Yosef. There is an ancient minhag. Shehanashim rochatzot roshan. That the women wash their hair. Mina mincha ulamala. From mincha time on, v'yom tisha b'av. Anyone ever heard of this? The women wash their hair enough from mincha and onwards. Wash your hair. Put some shampoo in your hair. Wash your hair. Uzdikeinim harishonim hinhiguze. This was brought in by earlier zdikeinim, earlier elders. The asu smach ladava, and they even gave a support to this. Al masha amru ba'agada, because we see in the agadata ki hamashiach nolad v'yom tisha b'av. So tisha b'av is the birth date of Mashiach. We'll talk more about that soon. You have to do something to mark the birth of Mashiach. How can you go through the whole day? You said your kinnis already. Now Mashiach is being born. You're not going to wash your hair. People shouldn't feel a sense of despair, giving up on Geula. But that's only for the women, he says. The Fishahim, interesting point he makes here. They're often, it's harder for them to appreciate all the positive sides of the nechamot, of the promises. Why? Because they weren't as literate in the literature to understand the different aspects of Tisha B'Av. They hadn't been as well educated. So the women would just see the negatives of Tisha B'Av. They'd see the kinot and the despair and the mourning. And they wouldn't realize, actually, Tisha B'Av has this second angle to it. And therefore, the women would be encouraged to get up and wash their hair after mincha. Lefikach tzrichim chizuk, they need chizuk ad kan. The ani oimer, I want to say, says the Beit Yosef, ki amina gahu nishtaka. I've never heard of this anymore, he said. So he was living in the 15th, 16th century. I never heard of this. But loy nema, we don't say this. Kala bala hakta badava bain isha. And I say any man or woman who is leaning this way, kofinot oshelo yavar di rechachomim. We tell them, no, it's not correct. It's an incorrect minag, it's a misplaced minag. But it's a minag that was sufficiently strong that he felt he had to deal with it. Meaning, if it was completely gone, then he wouldn't have even mentioned it, would he? The fact is, he feels he has to mention it because there are some places that he has to stamp it out. And we'll see it morphed into something a little bit more acceptable as Tisha B'Av goes on. Look over the page. Go a couple of hundred years after the Bet Yosef to the Birkei Yosef. Rav, the Chidah. So the Chidah writes the following. Number 6. He's living in Eretz Yisrael in the 1700s. Shuvra Iti, and he is dealing with an interesting fact, which we do, which is this Sukkim of Nechama that I just read to you. Very positive, very upbeat. We say them at the end of Kinot. But we also said them last night, at the end of the few kinot that we said last night, right? Which is very strange, because I can understand saying these sukkim on the end of the morning of kinot, that we're ready to end that phase of Tisha B'Av, but why would you say them at night? Surely isn't that the deepest heart of the negative part of Tisha B'Av? Why do we say these? And he says, I think we should say them. Shuvra iti b'sefer hakavanot la'arizal. He quotes the Arizal. Shehevi minag v'nathan tam leminag, and he brings the minag and he gives a reason for the minag. Shamru chazak, the Israel ra'u b'tisha ba'av ve'erev. It's Situ Eish, when the Jewish people saw, when Tisha B'Av came in, that there was fire, the heichel, burning down the heichel. Amru mizmor, they began to sing. Sheshafa chamaso al eitim v'avonim, this is quite a famous source, that God is, rather than destroying the entire nation, has focused on the bricks and the mortar, bricks and mortar that we really destroyed internally by our own actions. And last year we talked about the machloket, the Shem Shamayim, which was so dangerous. They would maybe would never been able to rise if it hadn't been a focus on the bricks and mortar. And then they received the nechama. And that's why I think he says it's good that we don't just focus on the negative on Tisha B'Av, but we also focus on the psukim of redemption even in the evening. He brings a student of the Arizal, Rav Chaim Vital. He also heard from the Arizal another reason. Because Mashiach, as I said, is being born. We have to add this. What is this Mashiach that's being born on Tisha B'Av afternoon? Now, Nikra Menachem, who's called Menachem, etc. That we find that the minhag of women washing their hair did die out, but the rabbonim were not prepared to criticize the following minhag which grew up. Mitaskot b'chol kochan, that the women after mincha, and I don't know if the men can't do this as well, but the women after mincha with all of their strength, lechabed habayit, they would clean the house, ulatakena mitot, and fix up the beds, ukiyotsi mitikune habayit, and freshen up the house in every way that they could, meaning Tisha B'Av, it's already the afternoon, time to clear out the house. Which is, and I think this is more well known. And this was what happened, this was the successor of the hair washing minhag, which was stamped out. Vezeh minhag kadum. And this, he says, is an ancient minhag. Va'ari Italia, in Italy, Lenashim, for the women, and they were very particular about this. Just one last thing on this issue, that the Meiri, who's living in France, he also records this issue of the women fixing the house, but he also records the hair washing. Look at this number 7. The Gamba Moriba Ezba'ot Reish Lamazayin, he quotes here from a sefer, because of Rabbeinu Kol Masha Osru Chazal, the Eila Hakel Acha Chatzos, you really are not halachically allowed to be lenient after Chatzot, that's the halacha, Bashum Davar with anything, Rakshim Mekilim Lenashim Lesadeh Habayit Ksat. We allow the women Ksat, yeah, the Kol Kochan has turned into Ksat, which is interesting. Vezelik Boa Belibam Emunat HaGeula. Ubesefer Oil Moed, he quotes another sefer here, Mishmuel Yerondi, I don't exactly know who that is. He says, V'hinhigu Azekeinim V'hanashim. There was a minhag of the elderly people and the women, L'chotz Min HaMincha U'lamala Et Roshan, to wash their hair. He brings this as well. V'samchu Amar She'amru V'hagadi Ki Mashiach Nola V'yom HaKurban, etc. Ubemeir, and he quotes the Meir Kasav, She'kein Nagu Kfar Bizmana Ga'onim. This minhag is ancient as well, from the time of the Ga'onim. Elisha Meir is seeing the Eina Minag Ya. I don't think this is a good Minag, because of Shaloy and Higu Kena Nashim Chachamot, and the intelligent women, educated women, do not wash their hair. Hamivinot B'Torah, those who understand Torah. Ulchein Tiknu Shaloy Yerchatena, Yerchatsu Rosham. They shouldn't wash their hair. Ela Yishtifu, but they should pour the water instead on the floor. Okay, Vinaku Habayit, and clean the house. Ubazeh Gam Nashim Chachamas Yicholus Lin Okein. And even the educated and Torah-focused women should feel that they can do this minhag as well. This is obviously a theme in Tisha B'Av, a theme that is not often brought out. And whilst very clearly, La Halacha, you can't wash your hair this afternoon, I'm sorry, in case you didn't get that message clear, La Halacha, that's Osa. Nevertheless, there is something to be discussed here as to why there is this strong theme within Tisha B'Av that will not die down. And I brought you the psukim of David HaMelech, which I'm not going to read through in number 8, the famous psukim when Bathsheba has a child after the relationship, which is the illicit relationship with Bathsheba, whatever that relationship was, and David and Bathsheba have a child, and the child is sick, and the child is dying, and David is fasting and tearing his clothes, etc. When the child eventually dies, so then he gets up and he washes and he sits and he eats, and his courtiers ask him, what is this? When the child was alive, you were fasting, and now the child is dead, you're eating and you're washing. And he says, look, when the child was alive, I thought maybe there was some chance, but now the child is passed on, it's time to move forward, it's time to look onwards, and therefore now is the time that I can get up off the floor, if you like, and eat, which is very interesting as well. So there are all sorts of hidden elements in Tisha B'Av that reflect this theme. Look at number 9. Ein Aymrim Tachanon B'Tisha B'Av. Halacha, we don't say Tachanon and Tisha B'Av. The Ikri Moed, because Tisha B'Av is called a Moed. Dichsiv Kara Lai Moed. Pasuk from Eicha. God calls this a fixed time, and there is a hint of a future Chag in Tisha B'Av, and the Aruch HaShulchan clarifies, number 10, Ein Oimrin Tachanun B'Mincha B'Erev Tisha B'Av, even before Tisha B'Av we don't see Mincha, Mishum De'ikri Moed, V'Ha'inin Hu L'Siman, it's a Siman, Ki Anu B'Muvtachim, we are assured, V'Hashem Yitbarach, She'oid Yitafecho La'Hayamim Ha'elo, these days will be turned, L'Moadim L'Simcho L'Yamim Tovim. So there'll be a Ma'afecha, if you like, in these days to other things. And even in the Psukim, this is very strongly hinted at, and this is where I want to move into a discussion of the birth of Mashiach, and what that really means to discuss the birth of Mashiach. Look at number 11. Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Hoi ki gadol hayom hahu. The great day will come. Me'ayin kamo. There's never been a day like it. The eighth tsara hi liYaakov. It will be a day of great affliction, of great trauma for Yaakov. Umimeno yivashaya. But from that day, he will be saved. What's this day? So the Radak says in number 12, Eitzar Ahil Yaakov, Zeye Milchemet Gog Umagog. This is the great wars that herald the coming of Mashiach, Gog Umagog. V'hayta Eitzar Asher Lo Nietzar Miyot. There's never been anything like it. But if you flip over the page, you'll see, what does the Masuda Savis say there? Eitzar Az Yihia Eitzar Ali Yisrael. Then it will be a terrible time for the Jewish people. Aval min hatzara hahi, but from that terrible trauma, teitzei lo od teshua. So there'll be a rebirth of teshua from the trauma. And therefore, teaching us to try and assimilate these two ideas, we have to be a little bit more sophisticated than I think we sometimes are. Because what's really happening, and what all these messages of Tisha B'Av are really saying very loud and clear, is that these two things are happening at the same time. There is at the same time this sense of loss, and the loss goes on, and the wars continue, and we still tragically bury our soldiers, even today and tomorrow. And at the same time, there's this feeling that, but something's happening, and things have changed, and it's not the same as it was, and how do I assimilate the two? And I think sometimes what we try and do is we try and bifurcate these. We try and separate these. I must confess, I have a personal dislike of the following statement. Thank you, Yaffa. It's okay. There's a few more sheets going around. Do you want to put your hand up if you need a sheet? Oh, all these people. All right, well, you'll get a, you don't need a sheet. It's not essential. Tarish Shabbat Pei is also good. Okay, there's a couple of ladies over there. So let me confess something that I dislike. And I hear this every year. I heard it last year. That people stand up and, well, whatever it is, there's a summer camp or a program. Yaffa, there's a couple over here, if that's okay. A few people over here. People stand up and they make an announcement the week before Tisha B'Av. And they say, this is how the announcement goes. Next week is Tisha B'Av, guys, and the following, schedule will apply. Unless, of course, Mashiach has come in the next week, in which case, Be'ezrat Hashem, we won't have Tisha B'Av and we'll all be celebrating and the program will be cancelled. Okay? And I don't like it when people say that. That's just my personal view. You don't have to agree with me. Because the reason I don't like it is because I think it's educationally very negative. Because they don't really mean it. In the most part. And if I ask them to put money on whether Tisha B'Av will happen next week or won't happen next week, they won't risk any money on Tisha B'Av not happening next week. In which case, why did they just stand up and say something they don't mean? Because all the people, especially young people listening, are also thinking, they don't really mean that. They're not saying it like I'm saying it because they're 16, because they're just kind of thinking it. But they're thinking they don't really mean that. And if they don't really mean that, maybe they stand up all the time and talk about things that they don't really mean. And therefore, how do I know what they do mean and what they do believe and what they don't believe? And I actually think that there's a very negative message going on there. Because we don't really, and we'll see from the sources, think that it's going to happen like that. That's not how it happens. And that's not how the sources say that it happens. And therefore, why not try and educate that actually the concept of the birth of Mashiach is not just split-second event. Mashiach is born. Oh, that's it. Cancel Tisha B'Av. That's it. Bring out the barbecues, and we'll all have a glass of wine. That's not how it happens. And I want to show you a midrash which expresses this so beautifully in number 14. So this is a midrash from Breishit Rabbati, not Breishit Rabbah. Breishit Rabbati. Breishit Rabbati is a collection of midrashim put together in the early Middle Ages by the Rebbeim of Rashi. Therefore it has it's very, very old. And it says collection of midrashim that takes from different sources. Number 14. Uminai shebo bayom nolad Mashiach. How do we know that on the day of Tisha B'Av, that is when we talk about Mashiach being born? Shneemar brings the pasuk in Yeshaya, Beterem tachil yalada, before she even goes into labor, she will have the child. Beterem yavo chevela, before she has the pains of childbirth, v'himlita zachar, a child will come out. A very confused birth. She thinks she's about to have contractions, etc., but then the baby's already born. What's going on here? So Eliyahu, it expresses in this midrashic language, was walking on the streets on the day Shecharav Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. V'shama batkol to'eket, and he heard a batkol screaming out the omeret, which was saying, Beit Mikdash HaKadish LeChurva, that the Beis HaMikdash is being destroyed. B'nei Malki Yavum B'Shivya, and the children, the B'nei Malachim, the Jewish people are being sent into slavery. Etet the Malka Tanatar Al Malata, the wife of the king, the Jewish people is like a widow. Okay, Shneemar Eicha Yashva Badad Haitak Al Mana, and the Baskol is screaming at Eliyahu. Kevan Shama Eliyahu, when Eliyahu heard this devastation coming to the world. He felt that the whole world was ending. This is the end of the world. And then he walked somewhere else and he found people getting on with their life. Sowing seeds and plowing, etc. Amalahu, and he said to them, how can you do this? Eliyahu is not known to be a calm person. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kasav Al Olamo, Hashem is angry, is fuming at the world. And he wants to destroy his house, and to send his children around the world. And you're checking the football scores? Or whatever the equivalent is? How can you live when this is happening? Yatsa Batkol. So then a Batkol came out and said to him, Amra, Hanach Lehem, not so harsh. Leave them alone. Just calm down a bit. K'var Noilad Lehem Mashiach. Because Mashiach has already been born. And what they're expressing, perhaps subliminally, is that even though it's the pinnacle, the climax of the destruction, at this point there's a kind of turning. It can't get any worse, it can get better from here. And there's already Mashiach has been born. Amar lahem, Amar la. So he said to the Batkol, Vaheichan hu. Oh, where's this Mashiach? So Amra lei. So the Batkol said to him, Bebet lechem Yehuda. Again, this is midrashic language, Bet lechem Yehuda, where David the Melech was from, etc. From Bet lechem. So he goes to Bet lechem. It's not such a long walk from Yerushalayim. Halach umatza isha achat. He found a woman there. She yoshevet al petach beita, sitting at the entrance to her house. Ubanam luchlach badam, and her little baby was still covered in blood. Umotal levaneh, lying in front of her. So Amalah, he said to her, Biti, ben yoladet? Did you just have this baby boy? So Amalah, she said to him, hey, yes, I had a baby. So Amalah, so he said to her, Mati v'shem luchlach badam. So why have you left the baby all covered in blood? Why didn't you clean up the baby? Amra, so she said, Ra Gadoila, it's a terrible day. Shebayom Shenoilad Bo, it's an awful thing that on the day that I had my baby, the Yom Shenechra Beis HaMikdash, I had the mazel to have a child on the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So Amar La, so he said to her, Biti, Indi, Vehechziki Bo, don't worry, pick up the child, hold the child. Kvata Heilachem Shushua Gadoila Al Yodoh, you don't realize, I heard a bas call, this child's going to be the Mashiach. Okay? Miyad amda. So straight away she stood up. She starts to hold her child. So he gave her clothes to dress the baby, a little baby grow, whatever it's called, tachshitin, lakashta. He gave a little, some little jewelry to put on the baby. Loi rafta lakavel. She said, no, I'm going to take that. So Amalai said, no, tzlimi meni, take the jewelry. Don't be embarrassed, even though it's Tisha B'Av. Take the jewelry. Uliyanim anibau makabel etdeneim. I'll come and collect the money, don't worry. He's not going to collect the money, but he wanted to feel better. Hinicha v'halach lo heishanim. Chamisha shanim. And he went away for 5 years. Because Mashiach is born, let's see how he's doing. La'acha heishanim. After chamisha shanim. After 5 years. Ama, he thought to himself, Elech ve'eru Mashiach shal Yisrael. Oh, time to go and pay a visit on young Mashiach. Im demut malachim hu. He'll probably look like a king. Okay, Mikael, he's growing up like a king. Or b'demut malchei hasharet. Maybe, meaning, what do I hope for Mashiach? This is all very highly symbolic. This baby represents our concept of Mashiach. Mashiach is going to be like malachim. We're going to be like either kings or malachim, like angels. This is our idea of Mashiach. Everything's going to be perfect, beautiful. Halachu matza et ha'isha. Omed edal petach beta. He goes and he finds the woman. She's still standing at the entrance to the door. Amala, he says to her, Biti, Mati Vushalai Sanar, how's the young boy doing? So Amrale, she says to him, Rebbe, listen to me. Laya Matilacha, didn't I tell you, Shiram Mazloi, that he has a bad mazel, this child? Shebayom Shinoilad Boy Biyom Nechra Besa Mikdosh, because that this child was born on the day that the Mikdosh was destroyed? I'll tell you how your Mashiach's doing. Od Raglaim Yeshlo, he's got legs. The Ein Holech. But he's lame. He can't walk. Oznaim yeshlo. He's got ears. Ze'enu shemea. But he's deaf and he can't hear. Einaim yeshlo. He has eyes. Ze'enu roe. But he can't see. He's blind. Pe yeshlo. He has a mouth. Ze'enu medabe. But he can't speak. Baharihu mutl ke'evin. He's nebach. She's had in the drashic symbolism, she's had a very severely disabled, limited child. The child is lame and blind and deaf and mute. And she says, this is what you promised me? So at this point, Eliyahu goes ballistic. So Nishba alav ruach midalet pinat ha'olam. At this point, the wind blows, picks up this child, the hitil al yamagodl, and carries him off to the Mediterranean, to the yamagodl. And he's gone. Kara begadav. So then Eliyahu tears his clothes, v'talash sara, and he pulls out his hair. The whole salvation of Israel is gone. It was a stillbirth, if you like. It never happened. So then the Baskol comes out. Yatza Baskol Amrale, and she says to him, Eliyahu, like Moshe Atasavor. It's not what you think. It's not what you think. You want Mashiach. That's good. You want Mashiach now? That's not how it works. Okay. You want shalom? That's good. You want shalom achshav? That's not how it works. It doesn't work that way. You've got to understand this is a process, she says to Eliyahu. El adalad meot shana yagur b'yamagadol. It's going to be 400 more years that this child is somehow in the Mediterranean. Upei shana b'male ashan, and then 80 years, the child's going to be in a pillar of smoke. Etzel b'nei Kairach, with the b'nei Kairach, exactly what that means I'm not going into. Upei shana, the pitcha shel Romi. And then eventually it's going to get to the gates of Rome. V'shara shani makte al kol medinos gedoles. And then it's going to go around all the different major cities and major countries. Ad eit hakeits. And then the end will come. But this Mashiach, which you saw and anticipated, will take hundreds and hundreds of years to actually develop into what you hoped. You're just not patient enough. Which is very interesting. So I think this is a beautiful midrashic idea that it says, listen, if you want to talk about Mashiach, talk about Mashiach. But understand that Mashiach is for sure coming. But Mashiach is coming perhaps in hundreds of years. It's a process. And there's no point trying to push it too hard. What should you be doing? What should we be doing? We'll see in a minute. The next midrash about Eliyahu and Mashiach, which gives a positive spin to this and says what we can do. But the first thing we have to be is we have to be patient. Okay, in terms of the eight hakates, in terms of the final end. In fact, there is a tease already in the Pesukim. Just skip 15 for now, we'll come back to it, look at 16. The Yeshaya says, Ani Hashem be'ita achishana. This is very much better known, that I am God. He says, in its time I will hasten it. So the Gemara, actually there's a mistake, it's not the Rambam in Hilchas Malachim, it's the Gemara in Sanhedrin in Sadiches, says, Amar Rabbi Alexander, this is quite famous, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rami, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi shows a contradiction in this psukim, k'siv it says be'ita, it says it'll come in its time, u'k'siv achishana, and I'll hasten it. So how does that work? Oh, zochu, if the people have a schut, achishena, then those hundreds of years can come quicker than they thought they would. But loy zochu, but if they don't have that schutz, be'ita, then it'll take its own good time. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi eshkach le'Eliyahu. So now Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi finds Eliyahu. So havikenu apitcha demara, said the Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who was sitting in the entrance to the cave of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Again, we could spend days just going through all the beautiful symbolism, why he's with Shimon bar Yochai, is it like Ba'omer, what's going on here? Not getting into that now. Amalei, so he said to him, Eima arti Mashiach. We know that, you know, people are impatient for Mashiach. Eliyahu, in the last Midrash, he was the one that was very impatient. But now he's been told it'll take time. Here, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is impatient. When is Mashiach coming? Amalei, so he said to him, Zil shayla l'dadei. So go ask him. Why are you asking me? Ask Mashiach. Heichi Yosef. So where's Mashiach? How can I find Mashiach and ask him? Apitcha deroimi. He's at the entrance of Rome. Oh, remember we said that was one of the places in the last Medrash that was on the Sivuv that Eliyahu, that Mashiach is making. One of the stops there is the entrance to Rome. Maisi Mane, how am I going to know who he is? Says Rishua ben Levi. There's a lot of people sitting at the entrance to Rome. So Yosef ben Ani is soiv lechaloim. He's sitting with all the people who are suffering from illnesses. The kulam sharu v'asidu b'chadzimna. All of the people there, they undo their bandages and take them all off and put them all on again afterwards. The Ihu, but you'll notice him, he's the one, Sharichad v'asichad, he takes them off and puts them back on again one by one. Why? Because he says, Zil mebion, maybe they'll need me, v'loikev, and I'll be delayed. If I'm caught with all my bandages off, then I'll be too slow. I need to come when the time is right. So he goes to find to Mashiach. Amalei says to him, Shalom Aleichem, Rebbe Moiri. Shalom Aleichem. Amalei says to him back, Shalom Aleichem Bar Levi, which is Yeshua ben Levi, that's his father's name. Amalei, he says, magic question. Le'emat ati mar. So when are you actually coming? So Amalei said to him, Hayom! Today! Oh! Asa legabi Eliyahu. He runs back to Eliyahu, very excited. Today's the day. Amalei, and by the end of the day, he hadn't come. So he said to Eliyahu, Shukuri kashakibi. Mashiach lied to me. He said today. It didn't happen today. Zamali hayon, asina. He said to me, I'm coming today. Velasa. And he never came. So Eliyahu now is now educated. He knows, as we saw before, how it works with Mashiach. So he says, Hachi amalach. This is what he's saying to you. Hayom im bekolot yishmo. Today, he can come. If you listen to his voice. Interesting, whose voice? Well, there's a posik in Tehillim. If you listen to Hashem's voice. But also if you listen to the voice of Mashiach, if you understand what Mashiach is, Mashiach can actually be coming today. But because you don't understand, you're not listening to what's going on with Mashiach, you've got the wrong idea of Mashiach, and therefore he never comes. What's going on here? So the Mashiach comes riding on a donkey. That's number 15, which is a well-known pasuk. And riding on a donkey is a strange image. Why does Mashiach come riding on a donkey? So I heard from one of my rebbeim once, I think he was Rabbi Yitzchak Bernstein, Zechel Tzadik Livracha, I can't remember exactly. So he said, if you ever ride a horse, so riding a horse is fairly straightforward. I went horse riding once in the Golan. I'd never ridden really horses before, but they said, listen, it's not rocket science. You get on the horse, you kick the horse's back, you know, and he goes forward, you pull on the reins and it stops. So you kick twice, it goes faster, you kick three times, it goes very fast, you pull hard, it stops. It's like driving a car, it's easier. It takes less time to get a license to drive a horse than to drive a car in this country anyway. You drive a donkey, it doesn't work that way. The donkey goes forward, and then just when you think you're going forward, the donkey sees something off the side of the road, and whoa, that's it, you're off on the other side of the road. How did that happen? You thought you were going in this direction, because you're used to riding a horse. But that's not how it works. Mashiach comes riding a donkey. Just when you think you get a feel for how the process is leading, you're going in the direction. This is it. Oh, all of a sudden you're over there. How did I get over there? Because Mashiach is complicated. It's riding on a donkey. And actually, the Ibn Ezra says that there may be more than one idea going on here. Look at number 18. So, the Meforshim disagree on that. Yesh Oimrim Kizeh HaMelech Hu Mashiach Ben David. Maybe this is Mashiach Ben David riding on the donkey. But Yesh Oimrim, maybe actually you've got the wrong child Mashiach. This is Mashiach Ben Yosef. And one of the problems you've been having, says Ibn Ezra, is all the time we've been talking about Mashiach, you've been thinking of the wrong Mashiach. Because the Ibn Ezra raises this issue, which we see in the Gemara, that actually there are two Mashiachs. And, you know, when we're thinking about the birth of Mashiach on Tisha B'Av, which is where we're coming into all of this, we have to be asking, which Mashiach are we talking about? Which Mashiach are we talking about? There's a pasuk that uses the expression Mashiach in Eicha. I didn't bring it on your sheet. In Perek Dalet, in Pasuk Ches, Pasuk Chav, excuse me. Ruach HaPeinu Mashiach Hashem. Mashiach Hashem is the Ruach HaPeinu. It's the breath of our nostrils. It's our greatest hope. Nilkad b'shchitotam. He's been caught up. He's been entangled with all the plans of the non-Jews. Asher Amarnu, we thought, b'tzilo nichye b'goyim. We thought we'd be able to get on this messianic process, but now we've been caught up. This is Mashiach Hashem, which has come to a grinding halt. So says the Gemara in Sukkah number 19, and this is a very important line into where I want to take this in the next 10 minutes. Ba'yom ahu yigdal ha-misped b'Yerushalayim k'misped hadad rimon b'bekat megidon. This is a pasuk there in Zechariah, that there will be a great day, there'll be a great hesped, there'll be a great tragedy, as great as the hesped given over Hadad Rimon, because Megidon, this was a great Avodah Zorah, which was in the north of Israel, I'm not getting into that now. V'safta ha'aretz, and the whole land will be saying hespedim, mishpachot, mishpachot, levad, each family mourning and giving its own hesped, mishpachat, beit David, levad, the David family alone, Neshehem Levad, and their wives separately, which, by the way, certainly not for today, this is one of the main entry sources to the whole question of, do you have to have mixed, or can you have mixed, or do you have to have separate seating at a wedding? Okay? It comes from this pasuk. Okay? So if you want to have a discussion about, do you need to have separate seating at a wedding, it says here, the men were alone, and the women were alone, and this was at a funeral. They separated the men and the women, but that's another shift for another time. Hasbedamai vidite. What are they giving this hesped over, says the Gemara? Pligi bari v'dosav rabbonon, chad amal Mashiach ben Yosef. Oh, it's about Mashiach ben Yosef. Shinerag. Mashiach ben Yosef has been killed. It's the Mashiach which they had high hopes for, but which died. Remember the Midrash, the Mashiach which Eliyahu is expecting to be the Savior, and all of a sudden now he's deaf and lame and mute and blind, and he's taken over for hundreds of years to the other side of nowhere. So, the idea is that there will be a Mashiach, which is Mashiach ben Yosef, and Mashiach ben Yosef will die. But does Mashiach ben Yosef have to die? And this is where Rav Sadia Gaon comes in number 20. Omer Achrei Zeh, I want to tell you, says Rav Sadia Gaon, writing in the 10th century, one of the earliest sort of thinkers of Jewish thought after Chazal. Ki'al shnei inyanim yachad. There are two ways this could go. Rav Salaima, im loy nachzo b'tshuva, if we do not pick up and do the tshuva that we need to do, then all these things will happen, Mashiach will die, and everything will be sold, and it will be hundreds and hundreds of years. But if we are able to do our bit, then we can hasten Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben David piton, and then Mashiach ben David could come immediately. And if you still need a process, maybe even if we do tshuva, we still won't have Mashiach tomorrow morning. There's still going to be hundreds of years of process. But at least Yekesh Shaliach Lo, the Mashiach ben Yosef will be a harbinger, will be a Shaliach for Mashiach ben David. Ukemetaken ha'uma, he will fix up the people, umetakel haderech, and pave the way. Think about what Rav Sadia Gaon just said. He said that the idea of Mashiach, and I want to say that this is the Mashiach which is born on Tisha B'Av, because the Mashiach born on Tisha B'Av is not the Mashiach ben David, where, you know, everything is at its final zenith. The Mashiach which is born on Tisha B'Av is the Mashiach of Mashiach ben Yosef. Which is, if we think and we internalize and mitbonen and reflect, etc., and introspect, then there can be a process of Mashiach that we can actually do something about, that will bring a process which will lead to Geula, but it will still take time, but at least if we know what we're doing, that will be a Shaliach and it doesn't need to die. And I want to, and the Ora Chaim says the same kind of thing, it's up to us as to whether it goes that way or not. Now, I want to end, in the last 10 minutes, with a hesped. The hesped that they're talking about is the Chariya, is the hesped about Mashiach ben Yosef. There's another very famous hesped. What better to say on Tisha B'Av than a hesped? And in fact, you'll see this hesped, I think, is very... It pertains very specifically to what I've been saying, because it gives us not just a general feeling about Mashiach, which we can say, oh yeah, Mashiach's coming next week, yeah, do we really mean it? I don't know, probably not. It actually gives us a real tachlis in focusing on what does it mean to bring and to hate the Mashiach. And this hesped was given by Rav Kook. I think the story is quite well known. Rav Kook came to Israel to be the chief rabbi of Yafo in 1904. Came from Russia. It was a very difficult position. Everybody was looking to see what's this new chief rabbi going to do. Is he going to go with the old Yishuv in Yerushalayim and Tzfat and Hebron and side with the forces of the religious community there, as he said? Or is he going to look more into the new Yishuv? This was the beginning of the second Aliyah from Russia, etc. Which way is this new rabbi going to go? So he's obviously trying to work that out. And punkt, about 3 months after he becomes the new chief rabbi of Yafo, Theodor Herzl died. So they said to him, Nu, you're the chief rabbi, stand up and say something about Theodor Herzl. If that's not the poison chalice for a new young rabbi, who's everybody is gunning for, basically, what is he going to say about Theodor Herzl that is not going to upset either one side or the other, or both sides? Okay. So this is what he said. I brought you a little extract from this in translation, which hopefully will be more effective in the 15-10 minutes that we've got. So he says the following. On that day, the lamentation will be great in Jerusalem, like the lamentation of Hadad Rimon in the Valley of Megiddon. He quotes there from the Pasuk in Zechariah, from the Gemara in Sukkah. So it came about, says Rav Kook, that throughout the exile, there is a seesaw effect of these two opposing forces. At times, there is exhibited a drive towards the material, worldly success that flows primarily from the foundation of Yosef and Ephraim. Don't forget Yosef. Yosef is Hamashbir. Yosef is the provider. He is the retail outlet, which is why it's called Hamashbir in Mitzrayim. He is the one that builds the infrastructure of the country. Other times, there's a stirring of the spiritual drive for observance of Torah, spiritual development for all, the love of God, Yiras Hashem, Ahavas Hashem, etc. Since it is impossible for our nation to attain its lofty destiny other than by actualizing these two components, the universal, symbolized by Yosef, and the distinctive, symbolized by Yudah, there arises in the nation proponents of each aspect. And we end up fighting each other in a war of Mashiach ben Yosef versus Mashiach ben David. Those who would enhance spiritually prepare the way for Mashiach ben David, whose focus is the final destiny. And truly, he says, of course, here the focus of life is spiritual attainment. Except that the spiritual can only develop properly if it is accompanied by all the material acquisitions of which a full-bodied nation is in need. He's saying this in 1904. What was here in 1904? Very, very little. Those who redress the material, general aspects of life prepare the way for Mashiach ben Yosef. So he says, actually, these people think they're fighting each other. There's a machloket going on. L'shein Shamayim. This is where it kicks into last year's shir, if you remember last year. There's a machloket by two groups of people, and they really believe in what they're saying. It's not just personal. One is really fighting his of Mashiach ben Yosef, and one is fighting Mashiach for Mashiach ben David. When these two forces work across purposes as a result of the calamity of exile, short-sightedness and disarray, these are chevlei Mashiach, the birth pangs of Mashiach, or to be more exact, the birth pangs of Mashiach. The psalmist says, Yorim is the defied, etc., is defied the footsteps of your Mashiach. Ikvot Mashiachecha. Since the major achievement of Mashiach ben Yosef, which is the general advancement of mankind, is accomplished by the de-emphasis of the unique form, Mashiach ben Yosef cannot endure, so he's destined to be killed. Now, listen to what Rav Kook is saying. Rav Kook is saying that in exile, we lose our perspective. And we believe that you have to choose. It's either this or it's that. It's either the development of the physical world and the building of the economy, or it's delving into a life of spiritual learning and growth, and there's the two, never the twain shall meet. So that's the problem. That's called Chevlei Mashiach. That's when Mashiach is in crisis because we haven't got our head straight on Mashiach either. When this happens, eventually, when we realize this, all will recognize the perversity of the situation. We'll realize this was a mistake. They will realize it was wrong not to subjugate the universal dimension to the spiritual aspect, which is Israel's destiny. Meaning, we thought we would just be a nation like every other nation, and that's wrong. You have to understand that the Jewish people is a special people, and the Jewish state is a Jewish state. they will lament him as one laments an only son. This is the grief over Mashiach ben Yosef. And they will grieve him as grief so that one grieves for a firstborn son, he says. Now, the lamentation for an only child is bereft of hope for future children. Okay? Elderly parents who have lost their only son, God forbid, are totally forlorn. If the verse were to end on that note, says Rav Cook, he would spell utter doom. But the bitterness is mitigated by the intellect, because intellect perceives that the nation has produced the soul of the Mashiach. The nation is not like an elderly parent who's lost their only child, but rather a young parent who's lost their firstborn child. Being inexperienced at raising children, they didn't attend properly to the child in its state of illness, so the child succumbed. That's what's happening, says Rav Kook, that we don't yet know what we're doing. We're fighting with each other. The Mashiach ben Yosef people are fighting the Mashiach ben David people, and that causes Mashiach ben Yosef to be strangled, because we don't have to look after the child. It dies at an early age. It's the lame, mute, blind Mashiach, which we were expecting but never happened. By the same token, he says, the nation comes to realization that it didn't know how to make proper use of the universalist dimension. It didn't understand how it could contribute to Israel's unique destiny. In that way, it could have survived. The nation labored under the illusion brought on by the divisiveness of exile. And don't forget, he was a student, Rav Kook, was a student of the Netziv. And last year we learned two pieces from the Netziv, a piece from the Hagdamah to Bereishis, and a piece from the Meshiv Davar, where he talks about Yamin u'Smal, left and right, fighting each other, and how the fighting between left and right is the cause of Chorban. And says the nation labored under the illusion because of the divisiveness of exile that these two forces are at odds. The result is that whoever holds up the universalist side, i.e. the secular Israeli side of the nation, becomes unfortunately an enemy of Torah and mitzvah. People become anti-religious. Contrarywise, whoever focuses on the uniquely Jewish becomes an adversary of material well-being. There's one side fighting for oil and gas and high-tech, and there's another side fighting for yeshivas and living in poverty. In the first scenario, the fence of Torah is broken down. One side is breaking down Torah, but the second, the result is weakness and morosity. So, famously, Rav Kook understands that these two things have to come together. Skip a paragraph, then the lamentation will be on both sides, but both will recognize their mistake. These two forces were created to be united. Once rent asunder, they were mutually injurious. And then he plugs that into his understanding of what Zionism was at the time in 1904. And of course, it's quite a brave thing standing up and saying that Theodor Herzl is Mashiach ben Yosef. He isn't, of course, saying that Theodor Herzl was Mashiach ben Yosef. He was saying that what that wave of excitement represented was this idea of an aspect of Mashiach which is often ignored, which is a Mashiach that can really be brought forward in a long-term way. And then he says in the last paragraph, this is the benefit to be gained by remorse over one who we might consider the footsteps of Mashiach ben Yosef. In view of his influence, now he's talking about Herzl, in revitalizing the nation materially and generally, this power should not be abandoned. Despite the wantonness and hatred of Torah, the result of the expulsion of God-fearing Jews from the movement. And that there's a historical reference there, that it's at this point that the Zionist conference really expelled the religious aspects of that movement, who went on to found what we now call Mizrahi, which was the religious wing of Zionism. We must develop the courage, he says, to seek that any power that is of itself good be fortified, and if it's lacking spiritual perfection, let us strive to increase the light of knowledge and Yirah Shamayim, such that it's capable of conquering the powerful life force and being built up through it, etc. Then will be fulfilled the prophecy, I will grant Zion salvation, etc., etc. Return, tshuva, must be from our side. We have to build that because other people won't necessarily build that. Return will be enduring only if all the powers presently found in the nation will be vigorous and directed to the good, and then you will end up with the result that he's looking for. So where does that tie in? Why did I bring this? Because just to summarize, what I think we need to be thinking about Tisha B'Av, if we're turning to the Hitzbonenut, to the idea of reflection, of self-reflection and building and going forwards, which we saw from the beginning, was built in from the very beginning, whether it's the people that wanted to wash their hair, or the people that wanted to wash the floor, or the psukim of simcha that we anachronistically put in the wrong time in Tisha B'Av, at the beginning of Tisha B'Av, even when we're saying kinnas. If we want to really develop that understanding, then I think there are a few things that we have to do. First of all, we have to recognize that Mashiach is far more complicated than people pay lip service to. It's far more long-term than sometimes that people try and pretend. But that makes it far more real. Because rather than just standing up and saying, Mashiach might be coming next week, and please God that everything will be fine, says Rav Kook, actually realize that the Mashiach that we're really working for, the Mashiach which is being born on Tisha B'Av, is a realization that there is something that we can do, each individual, about forwarding Mashiach ben Yosef, which is a process. It's a process of building the nation. It's a process of uniting the nation. It's a process of reaching out to the religious and helping them to understand the need to build the physical nation. It's about reaching to the non-religious and making them understand the need to integrate Jewish ideas into their lives. It's about building these bridges. And they can be built, and they are built, and they're built on a one-by-one basis. And they're not built overnight. They're built over hundreds and hundreds of years. Look how long it took when the Jewish people came into Eretz Yisrael with Yehoshua ben Nun. Look how long it took until they got their act together enough to unite the Shvatim sufficiently to be able to get a king and then eventually to build a Beit HaMikdash. It took 400 years, just over. In fact, very similar to the time frame that we saw that Eliyahu was told by the Bas Kol that this is how long Mashiach takes. But the downside is that we have to be patient. Nobody likes to be patient because we want everything right now. We get frustrated if our website doesn't load within 3 seconds. We're tapping the desk and say we want everything now. Okay? But that's not how it really works. We have to be patient. But within our patience is actually an incredible empowerment, which is that we can do a lot to really make that happen. And if you feel like washing your hair this afternoon, then halachically you can't, I'm sorry. But you can turn that energy into a resolution of some kind to try and build those bridges that we're talking about and making Mashiach ben Yosef a reality. And Be'ezrat Hashem, if we're able to do that, then in the due course of time, Be'ito Achishana, Mashiach will come when it's meant to come. And please God, we'll all be Zaycha.